Today's show is definitely rated R. That's short for Ray. Let's talk about the death of porn with Ray Ortland on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And I am Steve, the aforementioned old white guy, Matthew. And by the way, we're so glad you're here. You always have a seat at our table. Matthew Porter is here. He's the executive producer. Matthew told us he was living his best life. We told him he still had to wear pants and shoes at the office. And our producer, Jinx, is in his little glass booth. The show is actually a lot like Jinx's hair. Long, a little wild, but usually very clean. And our video director in one-man IT department, you never see him, but he runs all of this. John Myers in his tech bunker. Mark Zuckerberg once said, move fast and break things. John says, move as fast as you want, but please, please quit breaking things. And then Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. I'm sad to report we did a test for performance-enhancing drugs, and George tested positive for Cuban coffee. And Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of the program. Kathy, it's mid-September. Is it too early to try out Christmas cookie recipes?
It is not. It absolutely is not. And I was so encouraged over the weekend because here's a plug for Hobby Lobby. The Christmas decorations are out and they are playing Christmas music. So it's time to bake.
Get ready, Steve.
Have you done your annual Labor Day cookies already? Is that already?
No, I don't do Labor Day cookies. Okay. No, we go straight to Christmas.
It's not time for Christmas yet.
Bah, okay, humbug. Grumpy.
Can't go anywhere now.
He gets excited for Christmas on December 26th.
Music and Christmas trees everywhere.
I was just about to start my New Year's resolution, so.
There you go.
Yeah,
well, we all need extra time. Early, you might as well.
They worked so well last year, right, Matt?
Thought I'd use them again.
That's right.
Yeah, try it again. Maybe the third time next year, you'll be able to keep some of them. I gave up being an old guy that I am. I gave up making New Year's resolutions a long time ago. It was just impossible. Every time I made them, the angels started laughing. Hey, we have one of my favorite people in this world as our guest today. His name is Ray Ortland, Dr. Ray Ortland. He's the president of Renewal Ministries, the pastor to pastors at Emmanuel Church in Nashville, and a canon theologian with the Anglican Church in North America. He also serves on the Council of the Gospel Coalition and blogs on the Coalition website. Ray is a graduate of Wheaton College, Dallas Theological Seminary, University of California at Berkeley. That's where he became a communist. And the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Together, Ray and his wife, Jenny, have served in gospel ministry for 40 years. His latest book, and I'd show it to you, but they were too cheap to send it to us. We did get it. Okay, that's the book. The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity Building a World of Nobility. Ray, it is really good to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Steve. I've missed you. It's great to see you again. And thanks for letting me on your program.
Oh, man. Thanks for being on the program. This is kind of out of your box. Every time you come out with a book, I rejoice. when you come out with one on porn, I was kind of surprised. Was this a confession?
Well, I'm not looking at porn, but I do want to say up front, I am a sexual sinner.
No.
I, at every level of my being, like if sin were the color yellow, like the tape that the police put out at a crime scene, everything about me at all levels, all the time, including right now, would glow yellow. You know, that's just, and that includes my sexuality. And I love my wife. I love Jesus. I'm a sexual sinner. And Steve, most of the guys at Emmanuel Church are in their 20s and 30s. And it used to be that I wondered when I would meet with a guy, we'd be talking through whatever he wants to talk about. I would wonder, you know, is porn an issue in his life? Now I don't wonder anymore. Mm. Porn is the wallpaper of our culture. And so I am really fed up with this one thing holding guys back. And holding guys back with isolation and shame. I totally resonate with what you said earlier. You're sick of religion. I feel the same way, because religion just belittles people and isolates people and pressures people. And that never helps anybody. Nobody's ever helped by being scolded. So I wrote this book to help guys get their dignity back. Yeah. To help them get some hope back. So
that's so good. Now you know why I love Ray so much. This book is going to make a major impact. Porn is one of the few sins. And with you, by the way, everything that Ray said, he said in the introduction to his book. And you don't expect a book on porn to open that way. You expect it to open with, I've conquered the problem. And if you love Jesus, you'll conquer it too. And you'll do it exactly the way I tell you in this book. And Ray doesn't start there. And by the way, porn is not his sin. It's not mine either. But man, what you said about not even asking the young guys on the staff about porn because you didn't have to. This is rampant and it's scary. Hey, listen, tell us about the letter John Wesley wrote to Wibbleforce and then why it's so important for this kind of issue.
Yeah, yeah. Some years ago, I ran across a letter that John Wesley in 1791, 2 weeks before he died, it was the last letter he ever wrote to anybody. He wrote a letter to William Wilberforce, who was a young politician in Britain. And the British Empire had established the slave trade, and it was legal, it was respectable, distasteful, but nobody was really alarmed. And Wesley wrote Wilberforce, a Christian kind of father figure to a young, up-and-coming Christian politician, and said, you've got to give your life to bring this down. This is just wrong. Everybody's going to be against you, but God will be with you, and you've got these allies in the Clapham area of London there. And if you'll give your life to this, the Lord will give you favor, and he will give you power. And Wilberforce accepted that. He felt like God was calling him to make the world a better place by marginalizing, limiting, stigmatizing the slave trade. And it took decades and a lot of setbacks along the way, but they succeeded in the end. And we all now, we look at William Wilberforce as a guy who really helped change the world. So I thought, wow, I'm 72 years old now. I mean, like, this isn't funny anymore. You know what I mean? I don't have much time left. I got no time to mess around. Let's go for it. What am I waiting for? So this is a series of letters to my son's generation, these guys in their 20s and 30s and 40s, Speaking as a father to these young men, I respect and believe him, saying, guys, you can make a difference.
Oh, man.
And you know, here's what I think I'm on the planet for, Steve. Like, I was born in 1949, like just after the last ice age. So I don't know when I'm going to die. The Lord knows that. He decides that. That's fine with me. I'm looking forward to it. But on the day I die, something in this world should be better than it was on the day I was born.
Mm.
I think that's why God brought me into the world, by his grace, for his glory. And I think that's why we're all here. So let's get after it.
Oh, man, that is so good. I can hardly stand it. By the way, we're going to talk about sex. And so if you have little kids around, or anybody who's really uptight and can't say sex without spelling it, S-E-X, then you might want to turn off your radio. Or if later you're watching it on our YouTube channel, you might want to just go watch some shoot up where people are killed. That certainly will be better than sex and stuff. But just don't write me letters and don't say I didn't warn you. Hey, guys, this is going to be so good. It's not going to be what you think. You hang around and you're going to be blown away. Like Jesus, we'll return.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
We're so glad you're here. I say it all the time, but I mean it. You always have a place at our table. We're talking with Ray Orland, and his book is called The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity, Building a World of Nobility. And it's different. We're going to talk about porn, but you're going to be surprised at the direction we go. I was telling Ray off the air that I just don't read books on pornography. They're written by Christians who are angry, and they nod in the direction of grace. Ray really believes it, that there is a movement in the right direction if this is your struggle. And he's not going to beat you over the head. You're not going to be shamed or guilted into doing having 8 guys stand behind you every time you turn on a computer. There's a better way, and it's a biblical way, and it's the way of Jesus. Ray, you guys chime in.
Ray, I was going to say, you know, echoing what Steve just said on the tone and the approach of this is just materially different than what I have read before. You can almost feel a fatherly hand on your shoulder as you're reading through this, and it makes, you know, all the difference to somebody who's trying to get perspective on this. And early in the book, you talk about the need to get free, but that requires honesty. And there's something, the whole approach is, let's take a different look at what this is. We'll get to the hows and the particulars, but let's take a different look at pornography. And this is something that you wrote. I wondered if you would just kind of speak on it a little bit. And you said, so how's this for next level honesty? If you look at porn, be honest enough to say to God, today I entertained myself with sexual exploitation, or today I joined in the abuse of a woman. That really puts a different perspective on what this industry really is. Wondered if you would just speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. The urgency of the book is that porn is a justice issue. I don't think I use the word purity anywhere in the book. There's nothing wrong with that word. It's a perfectly good word, but it has some connotation. It's been given some connotations that are distasteful to me. So let's categorize it in the way it should be, and that is justice. Oppression is injustice, and the whole heart of God opposes the oppression and exploitation, the objectification, monetization, and abuse of precious human beings. I believe that the risen Jesus looks at everyone in the depths of the porn industry with a tender heart and a longing heart. You know what I would love to see in my lifetime? I want to see another great awakening, but what I'm not interested in is some already pretty good church down the street upgrading themselves from 6 to 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 while they cruise toward heaven comfortably. That's not the great awakening that riles me up. I want to see the risen Jesus visit the porn industry and give those precious people their lives back and put some sparkle back in their eyes and help them believe in their future again, because he is there. So that 10 years from now, some of the best preachers in America are former porn people, and some of the most generous philanthropists are former porn investors, and some of the best storytellers are former porn videographers. Now that's a great awakening I can get behind. And if this book lights a fuse that can lead to that wonderful detonation of grace and mercy and restoration, what a privilege that would be. But I'm not interested in, I don't even like the word accountability, because I've seen it used to coerce guys and just embarrass guys. But I'd rather use the word transparency. And how crazy is it that mutual transparency starts loosening the grip of injustice all over the world? The needle starts moving when we Christian guys become vulnerable and open and transparent.
Right. And that heads toward an issue that kind of you start in the book with kind of the foundational aspects, sort of like Ephesians, you know, sort of identity type issues. And then you get to more practical side of things, applied application in the last part. But, you know, you addressed something early. I mean, we've had the opportunity to interview people on subjects such as racial division and transgender and same-sex attraction and several topics, justice that you mentioned. And it seems like often the place that people start, I think very appropriately, is men and women made in the image of God, which you do in this book. And talk a little bit about how important that understanding is. Yeah. And while your book is addressed mostly to men, younger men, I mean, you don't leave out the fact that it's equally important to understand that, you know, women were made basically at the same time in the image of God.
Yeah. Yeah. The image of God teaching in the Bible is massive. The gospel does not begin with Genesis 3 and human sin. The gospel begins with Genesis 1 and human glory and God's goodness toward us. And the first page of the Bible says that God created us in his image, which means, one of my commentators here on Genesis points out, that the word image is used elsewhere in the Bible for a statue. So the idea is a king puts statues of himself throughout his empire to remind people that he's the king, to represent his throne everywhere. And we have been placed in this world by the king of the universe to represent his rule. In other words, we represent royalty. We are royalty. Every single person on the face of the earth is graced with a dignity from above, a dignity this world didn't give to that person, a dignity this world can't take away. It is from God. And once we begin to see one another with those eyes as the glorious, amazing, fascinating, magnificent human beings that we are, flawed, yes, but there's this deeper reality. The flaw comes in Genesis 3. Genesis 1 tells us who we most deeply are, God's image bearers and therefore royalty. So, for example, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, one of the first Gentile converts to Christ, is visited by Peter and bows down to Peter. Peter says, don't do that. And Peter was right not to accept that. But if we're never tempted to bow down to another human being, have we really thought about who that person is?
Oh, man, that is so good. We're talking to Ray Orland. And his book is The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity Building a World of Nobility. Y'all get this book, and if you have a men's Bible study in your church, study it. And if you don't, start a study. This is really important. Don't go away. We're coming back.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're hanging out with author and speaker Ray Orland. You can keep up with him at renewalministries.com and on Twitter at Ray Orland. All right. Ray, you know, there are people that are watching right now and say, and they're saying to themselves, this is, I don't care if my neighbor watches dirty pictures. I mean, I've never trusted him, but that's no skin off my nose. I'm going to watch my television and enjoy my life. This is not an issue I'm going to care about. What do you say?
Well, that's a reasonable position until we think this way. When we look back at the 19th century, like pre-Civil War America, there were Christians who stood against, actively, publicly against the slave trade. And we regard them now with a lot of respect because that took courage and they took their stand, and that was very honoring to Christ. And we look at the Christians of that time who said that very thing, Steve, you know, it's not my problem. And who am I to, you know, who am I to say, and I can just live my life. And we regard them now, they lost their historic opportunity. And it's tragic. And now in our time, the porn industry is a cover for trafficking and exploitation. I tell the story in her own words. There's a lady here in the book who let her story be included in the book and how she ended up there. And she says, every woman in that world would rather be anywhere else. And I'm just, you know, I'm sure you feel the way I do, Steve. I can't turn a blind eye to that. I cannot say I don't care. And so I know that Jesus cares. I deeply believe, geez, Steve, that the risen Christ above at this moment, right now, is looking into the depths of this exploitative, unjust, inhumane, degrading, humiliating industry, making tons of money, keeping people in its thrall. And he is not fuming with rage at the people suffering there. He just wants to take them in his arms and comfort them and help them and lift them up. Okay, that's where we come in. Mm. Let's serve the Lord in that way.
So good. Mm. Kathy.
Ray, first, just one little comment. I love your dedication page for my grandsons. May you thrive as men of integrity. And for my granddaughters, may you flourish in a world of nobility. That's just, my gosh, that's so cool. I wanted to shift, being the only female at the party here, I just wanted to shift over a little bit to the subject of women. We did, it may even be 2 years ago. I don't remember. And I don't remember the name, and it doesn't matter, but we interviewed a woman who was, for a long period of time, was hooked into this, into porn. And it's always, you know, most of the time it's something, you know, that is directed at men, you know, and we come at it from the standpoint that men are visual and, you know, therefore implying women are not, and et cetera, all the way down the line with this. And it was very enlightening. It was an enlightening interview to me. And I just wonder, we sort of always refer to the women as the objects of it within the porn industry, as opposed to being the objects of it as people who are involved in, you know, in viewing it or whatever, as with men. And I just, is there something, I've only started the book. Is there something in here that leads into that direction as far as women are concerned? And you may not be able to answer the whole thing because we're coming up on 1 minute, but we can finish on the other side of the break.
Well, thank you for the question, Kathy. It's a really important question. I did not feel qualified to address that issue. My wife did say to me after she read it, she thinks the book could serve and help women. But I felt like I want to write this like Wesley writing to Wilberforce, or like a dad writing to his sons and grandsons. That was my approach. But what you're talking about is absolutely crucial. And the chapter that actually messed with me the most and helped me personally the most was chapter 2, She is Royalty. I would love for every woman to read that chapter to know how magnificent she actually is in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to give that. I don't have any grandsons, nor do I want any. I don't have any sons, nor do I want any. I'm up to my ears in women, and I'm going to give all of them a copy of this book because they are royalty. They really are. And I will be the noble one if anybody goes after them with porn. Because I've got a gun, and I'm not going to do any prayer or religious teaching or salvation stuff. I'm going to shoot those suckers dead if they touch my daughters or my granddaughters. I'm going to have to repent of what I just said, but I feel better having said it. Hey, a lot more with Ray Ortlund on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss this. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. We're glad you're here. By the way, we now have a free Key Life app. And no matter which denomination you're a part of, Apple or Android, we have a version for you. Just visit keylife.org/app. And you don't ever see John Myers on this video or hear him on our radio broadcast. But he worked for months and months, and it shows. It is a wonderful app. Trust me on it. Check it out. And then you'll rise up and call me blessed.
Ray, it was mentioned earlier that you had set up your book in both with kind of two sections, with a very foundational aspect in the initial part, and then some very practical application things. I mean, for those guys that are saying, okay, yeah, you got me, that's a problem for me, what do they do?
Okay. Here's my recommendation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his amazing book, Life Together, said, the more isolated a man is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. So the thing to do is come out of isolation. So here's my recommendation. After the radio program, every guy who wants freedom and wants to give his life to the dignity and freedom of other people too, call a trusted friend today. Don't wait. Call him today and say, could we get together? I got some things I need help with. I'm not doing well in certain ways. And meet for coffee and go into James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confession, prayer, healing. That is the doable path every one of us can follow. And it doesn't say confess your sin, you know, as a theological abstraction, but confess your sins. Like last Tuesday night, or whenever. And it's also mutual. Confess your sins to one another. So here's how I'm not doing well. The other guy says, and here's how I'm not doing well. Here's what isn't working in my life. Have that conversation together back and forth. And then it doesn't say, and fix one another. It says, pray for one another. So I need, and that's when healing starts coming down. So I need to meet with guys that I trust and respect, guys who love me enough to hang in here with me as I go through all my drama. We meet together here in my study on a regular basis, and we confess our sins to one another. And what's amazing to me is how it's like that line in Casablanca, you know, round up the usual suspects. I keep coming up with the same things over and over again. It's embarrassing. You'd think I would change, you know, but I change very slowly. Guys, I thought I would be so much more Christian by now than I really am, but God is patient. So we meet here, we confess our sins to one another. It's embarrassing and freeing. And then we pray for one another. And you know, we're doing pretty well. I mean, I don't think my life is headed for a catastrophic disaster when I'm meeting with guys I trust and respect, and I'm showing them my mess, and they're finding out about Ray Orland at his worst. And we're walking together in that way. That can only trend toward healing. That's in the Bible. And so I right now, you got to make that call. The guy who's listening, make that call to a guy you trust and respect. Don't put it off. Meet with him and open up the door and let him share the same experience. Then start gathering other men together. This book, The Death of Porn, is perfect for small groups of men who are tired of life not working well anymore.
Oh, man, that's so good. You know, Ray does that in this book. The first thing you want to say to Ray is, Ray, you have a doctor in front of your name. You are ordained. You are very religious. Everybody looks up to you. You're one of the good guys, and you're here to help the bad guys. No. Disabuse us of that, as you do in the book. Disabuse us of that particular view.
Well, here's something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God did not create reality so that what goes on in my mind is not projected onto the screens at the front of Emmanuel Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And every time I stand there, everybody sees what happened inside me over the last week. I wouldn't have a friend left in the world.
Well, if it happened to everybody, you'd have revival.
Well, that's true. That's a great point. But I remember, Steve, when you were there at Emmanuel, you said one of the reasons God called you into the ministry is to have you up front where everybody could see you and keep their eye on you.
I totally people thought that was that. A joke. It wasn't a joke at all.
Yeah.
Well, do you get response? I know you deal with young men all the time, pastors all over the world, as a matter of fact. What kind of response do you get to this kind of teaching? Is it positive? Oh. Is it leave me alone or what?
Oh, gosh. Steve, we just stumbled at Emmanuel Church. We men stumbled into this open clearing, these green pastures and still waters of mutual confession, non-pressured, non-shaming, brotherly, prayer-soaked mutual confession. We stumbled into it and we stayed there for about 10 years. And that's what laid the foundation of this like crazy fun church. And so I've seen this in real life. I know what can happen when guys go to that place of honesty together. It's been the most wonderful experience of my adult life to share that with a bunch of rowdy, crazy, sinful, flawed guys who love Jesus.
Oh, that is so winsome. Just to hear you talk about it draws me to it. Such a good thing. Ray, we're finished. I mean, this hour has flown by, and there's so many other things I'd like to talk to you about. If there's anything you want to say in 10 seconds, you might want to say it. Then we're
yeah,
gonna...
I would. There is. And that is, I love Steve Brown.
And I love Ray Orland.
Is the real deal, y'all. This man is one of my favorites. I love you, Steve.
I call Ray every other morning and say, you remember what you said? And ask him to say it again. That's Ray Orland. And you're going to love him and his book. It's different. It's the book that you want to read, maybe the only one on the subject of porn, called The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity Building a World of Nobility. And you won't feel shamed. You'll feel loved. That's the key. Freedom and love to dealing with this issue in a profound and wonderful way. Ray, thank you so much for taking your time out of a busy schedule and being with us. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
I'm so glad you've been with us during this time. You now know why I like Ray Ortlund so much, because he's got the key. And so many of us don't, not just to porn, but to sin, to living a holy life, to sanctification, to growth. You know, we're all into that, and that's all we talk about in the church. Better and better every day, every way. And if you decide that you're going to do it, you're going to have a season of prayer, spend an hour studying the scripture every morning, you're going to put a tight band around your desires and your words and your thoughts, you're going to fill your head and your brain with scripture by memorizing it, because garbage in, garbage out, and you're going to fill it with God's word. Lots of luck with that. I can do my worst sin quoting scripture. I mean, I sometimes am thinking of scripture when somebody cuts me off in traffic, and before I think, I've made an obscene gesture. So that didn't work. It really doesn't. You get loved, you get forgiven, you get free, and you realize who you are and who everybody else is in the image of God. And as it deals, and you've heard that for the last hours, it deals with the subject of pornography. I don't know anything that will fix it, make it better, and free you up. And I'm so sorry if you're caught in that. That's awful. And Jesus doesn't beat you over a head with a mallet. He wants to hold you and say, I understand this is really, really hard. Just sit still for a while. Let me love you and let's see what happens. It'll blow you away. It's how I became a spiritual giant. And the angels and everybody you see on this screen, if you're watching it, just got the giggles too. Kathy, who's going to be on next time?
Well, next time we have Adam Ramsey, who is actually a friend of Ray Ortlund's, and his book is titled Truth on Fire, Gazing at God Until Your Heart Sings. And Ray thinks he's wonderful. So since we like Ray, we probably will like him too. He's an Aussie, so he'll have a great accent. He'll be fun to listen to him talk.
Talks funny, but he says good things about the attributes of God. You'd be surprised the difference that can make too. Not looking at yourself, but maybe looking at him. Hey guys, we're out of here, but next week we're going to come back same time, same place. It's our fond hope that you will return also. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. And that gives you a wide, wide berth.